This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. Cincinnati's new city manager, Harry Black, has been on the job now for about 2 weeks. He started on September the 8th after Mayor John Cranley announced his appointment last month and City Council unanimously approved his selection. Harry Black joins us to talk about the job and his plans for the city. You can join the conversation. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Coming up later in the hour, you'll hear about an organization that serves as a resource to help other organizations tell their stories effectively. But first, it's our pleasure to welcome Cincinnati's new city manager to the studio. Thanks for being here this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Probably been a busy, this would be, 9 days so far on the job?
That's correct. I've been averaging about 8 to 12 meetings a day.
Well, before we talk about, you know, your plans and how you're getting adjusted to the city, let's start back at the beginning. The city hired a search firm to select candidates for the new city manager, and you were actually approached by the search firm saying you should apply for this job.
Yes. I was minding my business, doing some grocery shopping after work one evening, and I got in my car, and the phone rang, and it was the search firm. And they were telling me about the opportunity here in Cincinnati and if I would be interested in participating in the recruitment process.
So I know when I found somebody leaked that you may be the nominee before you were officially announced. So the first thing I got on, actually they gave me your wrong first name, but that's all right. I figured it out. And I Googled, they gave me Larry Black, Finance Director, Maryland, or Baltimore. So when you heard about Cincinnati, what did you do? Did you get on Google and Google about Cincinnati, or what did you do to learn about the city?
Well, I've always been aware of Cincinnati, particularly from a city management perspective. A mentor and a friend is Cy Murray, Sylvester Murray, so I've met him about maybe 20 years ago. This was after he had been city manager here, so I knew a little bit about Cincinnati through that, and obviously I went online and went to the city's website and did some Googling, and I think I might have probably looked at about 8 or 9 council meetings just to get a flavoring for the political dynamic and the governance dynamic.
I'm old enough to remember when Cy Murray was city manager, and he was very active, very involved, very dynamic person. I mean, do you see him as a role model?
I think I would definitely say that, Cy would clearly be a role model, not just for me, but for most professional public administrators in general.
So when you watch the council meetings, you poor thing, I sat through those, but what made it click? Was there one thing that said, okay, I should pursue this opportunity?
Well, it's a huge opportunity as a professional in public administration. Being a city manager or its equivalent is the highest honor that you can achieve and opportunity that you can have in the profession. Cincinnati is a great city. It has a tremendous number of assets to work with and the history. And looking at those council meetings, I liked what I saw.
Now that you're here, you started on September the 8th. And I can, city's a pretty big organization, and I know most days on a job, you're given your key card, you fill out some HR papers, and you go to orientation. Somehow I don't think there's orientation to be Cincinnati city manager. So where do you start, and how does it not become overwhelming?
Well, what you have to do, it is a big job. You have to really fall back on your experience, your knowledge, and your instincts. You know what the challenges are, you know what the job entails, but a lot of it entails a lot of in-between nuances. So that's when you've got to really draw on your knowledge and expertise, experience in terms of assessing situations, how you're dealing with people, regardless of who they might be or what they might do for the city, and making certain that you make the best decisions that you can make with the appropriate amount of input from various places.
Have you started out with meetings with individual department heads and that sort of thing?
Yeah, my first couple of weeks has been primarily geared towards sitting down, doing one-on-ones with each department head. I think I've sat down with just about all of them. I believe I have maybe 2 or 3 more to go. And then, spending time with the mayor, I've sat down with each council member just to stop by and say, hello, I'm here, look forward to working with you. no set agenda, just sort of trying to touch all of the right people as quickly as I can and getting up to speed on all of the issues, challenges that are out there.
What have you learned so far?
What I've learned so far is that we're going to be busy for quite some time. I think my observation, the city has been without a permanent city manager for about 9 or 10 months. And then you're going through the transition from one administration to the next. So really, probably the past year and a half, there's been uncertainty, a little bit of instability, a lot of anxiety, which is just normal and natural. So the key is migrating and transitioning from that to stabilizing things, re-energizing the workforce, re-establishing focus and direction, and doing it in a collaborative way.
One that you talked about that you're meeting with department heads, but there's at least two major department heads that I know that are interim. The city solicitor is an interim city solicitor. What used to be economic development is now trade and development, I think, is the new title. Those are both interim. So how soon do you begin the process of making permanent picks for those interim positions?
Yeah, my plan is to start that process within the next week or two. And it will probably take anywhere from 60, 90 to 120 days from start to finish. Some of the positions we may end up having to do recruitments for. Others will be some internal hires and maybe one or two outside people. But I'm still formulating that, and I hope to start that process within the next week or two.
You talked when you were introduced to the media and to the public here about setting performance standards, performance goals for each and every department. I know it's early on, but how have you begun that process?
That process has begun from a planning perspective, and what it's going to look like once it's totally rolled out. Clearly, performance and accountability are critical. How we do that differs from one experience to the next. I've done it a variety of ways. I've done it the 2x4 way, which I would never recommend to anyone because it's whatever we do in this.
I'm assuming 2x4 is you beat somebody over the head with.
Well, I mean, sort of, figuratively speaking, in essence, not really appreciating and maximizing the need for and the value of collaboration, and the softer side of things. What my focus is going to be is whatever we do will need to be sustainable. In order for it to be sustainable, it means that it has to be organically ingrained within the organization, and you can't do that necessarily with force. You have to do it in a collaborative partnership kind of a way. And so in that regard, and it will take time to ingrain certain principles and practices within the government, we want to establish an Office of Performance and Data Analytics. This office will serve as an incubator for a cadre of performance management programs. The first one out of the box will be we will establish performance management agreements with each department. It'll be tracked back to the budget. It'll be based on the city's priorities and its priority goals. The second piece will be, number one, we want to look at certain processes that aren't working. And we want to jump on those processes, but we want to do it in a very decisive, swift, but yet very constructive way. And to do that, we'll be pursuing the establishment of an innovation laboratory. In essence, if we've got a protracted process that's not working, either not working for us internally or not working for our external customers, we will offload that process, put the right people in a room with the right software applications and the right tools, and they won't resurface from that room until we have fixed the problem or have come up with a better process. Another element that will be incubated by this office will be a CityStat program. You may be familiar with ComStat, which really started this whole stat movement.
And ComStat deals with crime numbers.
Right. It started in New York during the Giuliani administration, and what has happened is it has evolved into non-public safety utilization and application. So we'll be doing something like that for the city of Cincinnati and just tracking, monitoring performance measurements and just holding folks accountable, but doing it in a very collegial, collaborative, and professional environment.
Realizing you've only been here 10 days is, and you're saying that to look at processes that aren't working, has there been anything that's bubbled to the top already that this is not working, we have to change it?
I wouldn't say anything, any one thing in particular, but my sense is that we'll have plenty to do in that regard. The key is, even if it's not broken, we want to always look at how can we make something better, particularly those processes that require us to interface with the public, you know, because obviously customer service is absolutely a paramount. Good customer service.
You came from Baltimore, where you were the finance director, and Cincinnati in the last several years has had its budget challenges. And there are even some council members who said this year's balance was the first structurally balanced budget in several years. There are some others who say, well, not necessarily, but there's some argument about whether it's structurally balanced or not. What do you make of the city's budget situation? Have you even had time to even think about that?
Oh, yeah, I think about that all the time, to be quite honest with you, because that's so critical. Based on what I've seen, the current budget is a structurally balanced budget. The key is, how do you sustain that over the long haul? I've had conversations with the mayor. I've had conversations with the council members in terms of how do you go beyond just balancing budgets? You know, Cincinnati, like most other jurisdictions, as a result of the recession, has become very proficient and expert at balancing budgets. But the key is, how do we go beyond doing just balancing budgets to being able to reinvest back into the city? So something that I'm going to pursue with the mayor and the city council is the establishment and the creation of a long-range financial plan for the city. This is not necessarily going to be a planning document that will look pretty and that will end up sitting on the shelf someplace, but it will be a business plan for the city that will be very tactical in nature. The idea is to determine what's most critically important to the city, not only in terms of what our actual day-to-day needs, but also what are some of our aspirations and desires that go beyond just what we know we must do, and then how do we get there strategically and then tactically.
This is something you did in Baltimore with a 10-year plan that you put in place.
Yes. We took a year. I don't believe it will take a year in Cincinnati to do it, but it's a very comprehensive plan. What happened was, 3 years ago, the city administration, along with the mayor's office, took a look at, I think the mayor just said she was tired of just balancing budgets. How are we going to build more recreation centers? How are we going to pave more roads? How are we going to provide more amenities for our citizens? And so she charged the finance department with thinking that through. And what we did is we took a 10-year period and we projected our revenues for that 10-year period and what our expenditures were, and we saw a very bleak picture. What it revealed to us that if everything stayed the same, the city of Baltimore was going to realize an accumulated budget shortfall over the next 10 years of about $750 million. So at that point, you make the decision, do we let that happen or do we try to do something about it? And that's where the 10-year financial plan emanated from. Plan took a year. It involved all of the stakeholders. It was cross-cutting government-wide participation. It involved business community participation, civic community participation, as well as council participation, which is why it took a year to do. And the city now is in year two of implementing the plan. And we've been able to reduce that projected accumulated deficit by $400 million just in the first 2 years of implementing the plan. So it works. I told the mayor on my way out in Baltimore, I said, if you don't do anything else, stick with the plan. Don't veer off the plan, because that's going to be your meal ticket. And it, so far it has been, to the point where the city, and for the first time in 10 years, received the bond rating upgrade from Standard & Poor's.
We are talking with Cincinnati's new city manager, Harry Black, and we're going to take a short break and continue our conversation in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. Our guest this afternoon is Cincinnati's new city manager, Harry Black, who started the job on September the 8th. And we're talking about various city issues. We're talking about the budget. And One part that not necessarily tied to the budget, but it could have budget impacts, is the city's pension system. And I know that's another thing that you addressed in Baltimore. Describe, if you can, how Baltimore's system compares to the city's system here in Cincinnati. Are they both city-run, city-managed pension systems?
Yeah, in Baltimore, we had two pension systems. We had one for police and fire, and then we had one for non-police and fire. And here in Cincinnati, I believe the city government itself, with the exception of police and
police
maybe
and
fire.
Police and fire in the state
separate.
System.
Yeah. The issues are the same. And I've been briefed on what's going on here in Cincinnati. The key is trying to ensure that current retirees retain a benefit into the future, and that the current workforce has a benefit when they're ready to retire. And the numbers have just been off the chart in terms of cost. I believe Cincinnati's system is about 65-66% funded. Baltimore's system, civilian system, is about the same, about 66-67% funded. The police and fire in Baltimore is in the mid to late upper 70s. But clearly, you want to be north of 80% funded. It's really where you want to be. Being 100% funded, I'm not sure what that really means and the value of that, but clearly you want to be north of 80%, and that's what you should always be striving for. We did major pension reform efforts in Baltimore, which was a part of our 10-year financial plan, and it worked. I mean, it required a lot of give and take. We have 8 collective bargaining units in Baltimore. So anything that gets done in Baltimore has got to involve union input, negotiation. But we were able to successfully do that and generate tremendous savings while strengthening the systems themselves in terms of their funded status, reducing some of the risk to the city. And it sounds and looks like we're doing the same thing here in Cincinnati. And these things can be contentious, but we have to work through them together from a sustainability standpoint.
But reaching that above 80%, that has to be the goal, because, I mean, that can affect all kinds of things, like the bond rating of the city.
It affects everything. It affects, like you said, the bond rating, how the rating agencies profile the city. But even beyond that, you want to ensure that your system is sustainable. Sustainable means that there's always going to be a benefit for the existing retirees, and there will be a future benefit for those who are making the commitment and to the city today, in terms of the current workforce.
What do you make, I believe, right now the retirement system is in not the hands of a federal judge, but there's a federal court judge that's overseeing a mediation process. You've been told about that. Is that a good idea?
Actually, Baltimore is going through something similar with respect to what, in essence, in 2010, the city made changes to the fire and police pension system. And now it's in federal court. Some of those changes are one in particular. Ultimately, I believe, as a part of that, we did do some mediating. Some mediation did take place. It has its place. The idea is you want to be able to resolve it at the local level to the extent that you can, but sometimes you aren't able to, and then you either elevate it to the next court level or you bring in a mediator to help try to resolve the issues. So it's not unusual.
Another thing that you talked about the first day that you met with reporters was economic development, and that was one of your marching orders from Mayor Cranley, was job growth, economic development in the city. What is the city's role in that? And that's been in question here lately with certainly Mahogany's with a city loan and a city grant to start that business on the banks. But what is the city's role in economic development?
The city's role, or government's role in general, in terms of anything like that, is like Adam Smith's invisible hand. But for the involvement of government, certain things are just not going to get done. There are certain economic development projects that just aren't going to get done without some input and some assistance from government. What's important, and I believe the mayor and I are clearly on the same page with respect to this, is that government or economic development incentives is a fact of life. It's, once again, but for a government incentive, a project may not be viable. So on the flip side of that, as a government, we must be responsible in terms of how we dispense of those incentives. We don't want to over-incentivize, which happens a lot in a lot of other places. And it happened in Baltimore, which really frustrated me on a regular basis. We want to provide just the right amount of incentive at the right time. And I believe that the mayor his views is consistent with that. So that is a role for government, in my view.
And I would assume that the balancing act, if that's the case, then you want the city to come more on the positive side than it's giving away in any sort of incentive or abatement.
Right, right. I mean, we have to generate some sort of return on that investment. I mean, I think that's just it's paramount. We can't just participate in a project, but we must generate a return from that investment back to the residents of the city of Cincinnati or any municipality.
And by that you mean the creation of good-paying jobs where people are paying city earnings tax.
Yeah. We're talking about, number one, hiring our residents, you know, providing employment opportunities for our residents, providing business opportunities for the businesses that are located within the city of Cincinnati, and obviously growing the overall tax base of the city, which allows us to reinvest back into the city in terms of infrastructure, services, and other amenities.
And I think the mayor has talked about this. I think you addressed it, too, that the goal is to bring this activity to all of the city's neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's got to be a goal in terms of whatever economic upturn and growth that the city is realizing. You know, it needs to be spread out so that all segments of the city are benefiting from that economic prosperity. Will you get 100%? Probably not, but you certainly need to demonstrate that you're doing everything that you can to spread the wealth around.
Another thing that you talked about was the safety of the city. What do you make of what you see so far with the police department and crime here in the city?
Well, it's all relative. It's all about what people think. You know, I think Cincinnati fluctuates between maybe 55, 65, or 70 homicides a year. Baltimore, we seem to be stuck at about 260 a year. So we know in Baltimore that's a big problem. But, you know, counter to that is a problem here in Cincinnati because of public perception. I received a report last week in terms of all the major crime categories. It looks like Cincinnati is either stable in most categories and down on some other categories. So relatively, I think the city is safe. But what I want to do is I want to work with the police department to make certain that we are building on our successes and then strategically and creatively doing what we need to do in areas where we're not as strong.
Is it a matter of just putting more police officers on the street, or are there other factors that can
have a
positive impact?
Once again, Baltimore is the 21st largest city in the country, but it has the sixth largest police department in the country. So to me, you need resources, but it's not always about resources. You can't automatically think that I need to throw bodies at a problem. Yes, you know, that could be a part of it, but more so I think it's about strategy, it's about tactics, and it's about a big part of it, I think. I'm a huge proponent of community policing, community involvement. I think if we do that right, you're going to have a chance to be much, much more successful.
Along that line, we had an email from Donna concerning gun violence and easy access to guns. Donna wants to know what can be done to make Cincinnati safer.
I think we need to continue to do what we're doing in terms of strategy and tactics and always striving every day to involve the public to the maximum extent possible in the crime fight. Just being visible, being present, and just be engaging in terms of the community. I can't say that enough. That's so critical.
To swing back to the budget as it relates to public safety, you were talking about Baltimore. There have been a former council member and some others that say, you know, two-thirds of the city's general fund budget goes to public safety, police and fire. Maybe how does that compare to Baltimore, for example? And is that, some people have put that to the side and say, we're not going to touch that two-thirds of the budget, but then that puts a strain on the other third of the budget that are taking continual cuts because you won't do anything with the two-thirds that is sacred, so to speak?
I think that's a common conversation across the country. My thing is, in terms of the role that I played in Baltimore and my interaction with the police department was, you know, if we're going to spend this money, we need to be able to demonstrate that we are spending it very efficiently and effectively. So what are the results that we're receiving? And are we maximizing efficiencies from an operating standpoint? You know, do we need to spend this much on this versus that? So it's setting up some accountability from an economic, financial management efficiency standpoint.
I can't have the city manager in and not ask at least one hot button issue. We put it off here for a while. Where do you make of the streetcar debate in the city? And did you look at that before you came here?
I looked at it a little bit, but the thing, the long and short of it is that it's a project that has been approved by the council. It's underway. Construction is underway. My job at this point is to make certain that the project comes in on time and at or below budget. There are some challenges facing it at this point in terms of working out some of the details that perhaps should have been looked at prior, but it's here now, and we've got to deal with it. So I'm in discussions with the various participants, particularly the project team, in terms of making certain that when that first rider puts the fare in the box, that the operation is solid from a financial management standpoint.
What kind of fine line do you have to walk, though, when you have clearly the mayor who selected you made no apologies that he didn't support the streetcar, and six of the council members who voted to confirm you overrode the mayor and said, no, the streetcar's going to go forward? That looks to me like a pretty fine line to walk.
Well, it's a fine line, but the fact of the matter is that it's here. It's present, and we've got to deal with it. And I know that the mayor understands that, even though he didn't support it. He's not done anything to get in the way at this point. Actually, he's been very helpful. He's been trying to be very helpful in terms of strategically thinking through some of the things that could have been thought out a little bit better in the beginning from a financial standpoint. Once this thing is launched in full, once again, it's a project that's been approved. It's under construction. My role is to make certain that it does what it's supposed to do, that it becomes financially self-sustaining to some extent.
One of the things you said when you were introduced to the media and to the public was that you were going to get out of City Hall and be on the streets, be in the communities, be at the neighborhood councils and that sort of thing. Now, I know it's very early on, but where does that stand? I mean, do you have a kind of a systematic approach to that?
Well, the systematic approach will probably look like this. I believe I've got several of those meetings on my calendar in the weeks to come. Mm-hmm. I'm open, you know, to invitations. You want me to come and talk to your group? I'd be more than delighted to do so. I'll be reaching out to some, but if I don't hit them all, all you've got to do is call the office or call me, email me, and I'd be glad to hop in my car, come over, and just spend as much time as necessary to talk about the issues, talk about what's important to a particular group, and how we can work together.
The mayor is delivering his State of the City address tonight at the Music Hall. Howard's going to cover that, and we'll have that online later tonight at WVXU.org. What do you expect to receive any further marching orders from the mayor in the State of the City address? This will be his first, laying out sort of where the city is headed in the coming year.
As these things go, I would suspect that the mayor will lay out his vision, some of his goals that he wants to pursue, and we'll take it from there.
Let's switch gears just briefly. Tell us a little bit about your family. I know that we were talked about that off the air. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, yes, I've got two children. My son is a sophomore in college, and my daughter is in the seventh grade, and my wife, Cheryl. They'll be coming to Cincinnati at the end of the calendar year.
To switch back to the politics here, there's always a lot of sometimes angst between the city of Cincinnati and Hamilton County. And both sides have called for more regionalism, more regional cooperation, but there's still that sort of tug and pull, especially when it comes to the Metropolitan Sewer District. Do you have any experience with that from Baltimore, the other places you've been, trying to get the city and the county to work together and be friends?
My experience in that regard is very limited, just based on the government structures that I've operated in. But here, clearly, there is an interdependence between the two. This is which goes even beyond regional cooperation. Regional cooperation is of a voluntary nature. What I see here is two government entities that are really interdependent, and really, it may not necessarily be of a voluntary nature in terms of what they, what they will need to do in terms of working together. But there has to be mutual respect. Yeah, unless there's mutual respect, you're not going to get off first base. And starting with that premise, then you engage in discussions and try to work through some of the challenges.
Just real quickly, have you met with? I mean, you said you've been in like it seems like 8 to 12 meetings a day. Have you met with any county officials yet?
I believe I'm scheduled to get together with the county administrator maybe next week. Actually, look forward to it.
And just in about 30 seconds, I know this was one thing you mentioned. What should we be looking for to judge how you've done in your first year? What metric?
Government performance, the performance of city government. We should start seeing some return there within that one-year period.
Well, very good. We appreciate you coming in. Hopefully we'll have you back as a guest in the future. If you want to get out in the public, here's a good way to talk directly to the public.
Thank you, and I'd be delighted to come back.
We have been talking with Harry Black, Cincinnati's new city manager. He's been on the job since September the 8th, and again, thanks for being here.